Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we can make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace. Grace alone which God supplies, strength unknown He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone which God supplies, strength unknown He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone.
What a wonderful thought. Try that again. What a wonderful thought. Amen. The grace of God. Thankful for His amazing grace in my life. Amen. And so you heard the text. We're going to preach on faith again tonight. And I thought as the young ladies were singing, the only thing that makes grace a possibility in our life is faith. You see, the Bible teaches that faith is the key that unlocks the grace of God in our life. I was reminded this afternoon of Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access to the grace of God, into the presence of God, to have peace with God. We have access to all of that through faith. And I'm going to tell you, faith's a very vital subject, and I don't know the mind of God always. I don't know the plans of God. I don't understand. I began to study this week. I knew that I would be preaching here, and I began to think and pray, and God used some of the messages by, in particular, Brother Dwayne Moore to get my wheels turning on some of these scripture in Hebrews 11. I talked to Brother David for just a little while last night. And we shared a few thoughts and came to the conclusion we may be preaching the same message. And so I just took his outline and changed all the words a little bit. So I'm just kidding. But, you know, it would not be unusual for God to give us the same message twice. I believe he's done it a few times in his word. I could not probably name all of those, but I remember Moses came and preached the same message to Pharaoh several times. God said, "Let my people go." And when he didn't get the results that he wanted, he came back with the same message. So I don't know what I'm trying to say there. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Really, in all seriousness, there could be somebody here tonight. God's really trying to get your attention. God's really trying to say, you know what? I'm going to give you one more opportunity to grasp this truth that it is vital for you to live by faith. It is vital for you to trust me. And so Brother David's title this morning was A Life of Faith. And so I had to scratch my title, and I'm going to call mine Living by Faith. All right, Living by Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, let's read it one more time. Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Just a couple of thoughts by way of introduction. There's only one way to be saved, and that's by grace through faith. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to get your sins forgiven, and that's by the grace of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. There's one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we understand that tonight. There's one way to be saved. But may I say to you tonight that after accepting that one way of salvation, there's two ways you can live your life. You can choose to live your life by faith, or you can choose to live your life by sight. And Paul, when he's writing to the church at Corinth, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 5, he said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." He's saying God has ordained it to be so that those of us that have been saved by grace through faith, that we should live by faith. We're not to live by sight. We're to live our lives by faith in the Word of God. And I thought about this also by way of introduction. Christianity is a way of life. It's not a one-time event. And I'm afraid, I fear tonight, that many people view Christianity as, oh, that's something that happened once upon a time when I bowed my head and I said that prayer, and therefore I'm a Christian. You've got the wrong idea tonight. Christianity is a life of trusting God. It's a life of faith. It is, as one author described, the life of God in the soul of man. That's what Christianity is. It's day by day, moment by moment, trusting God to meet every need in our life. That's Christianity. Christianity is not confined to the moment that God saved my soul. Now, praise the Lord for that moment. But may God help us not to think that because we one time put our faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, that therefore we're living the Christian life. No, if you want to live the Christian life, you're going to have to live it on Sunday, and you're going to have to live it on Monday. You're going to have to come and live it on Wednesday night. You're going to have to go home and live it on Thursday when you go to work. And so Christianity is a way of life. It is not a one-time event. Notice chapter 10, verse number 38. The Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith." That verse is written to the just. Who are the just? The just are those that have been justified, those that have been made righteous, those that have a right standing before God. And four times in the Word of God you'll find that phrase. The book of Habakkuk, here in the book of Hebrews, you'll find it in Galatians, in the book of Romans, where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So we're not just saved by faith, we are to live by faith. It is a way of life. So the question that I want us to consider tonight, with the Lord's help, is how do I know if I'm living by faith? How do I know for sure that I'm living by faith? So tonight we're going to look at some evidences, some qualities, some characteristics of the life of faith. And the purpose tonight is for us to examine our heart, examine our life, take inventory, and let's see if these qualities are evident in our life. Because, as it was mentioned this morning, we can say that we have faith. But James says, you know what, we can say it, but that doesn't mean we're doing it. James is the one that championed, he pinned it down. Let's not just be hearers of the word only, let's be doers of the word. And so if we are living by faith, there'll be some things that are very evident in our life. Number one, I want you to turn back to chapter 4 just for a moment. We'll be back in chapter 11 the remainder of the time. But I want you to turn back to chapter 4. I thought of this verse this morning, and I want to share it with you. How do I know if I'm living by faith. Number one, the life of faith, it will be a profitable life. It'll be a profitable life. What do you mean? Look, if you will, at chapter number 4, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Paul gives a warning here, and he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." Why? Not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. Paul said, you know what? You need to beware. We need to fear, because the same thing that happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness, it's liable to happen to God's people in the New Testament. They did not enter the promised land. They did not live a life of faith. They did not experience victory because they chose to live by sight. They chose to be intimidated by the giants, by the difficulties of Canaan's land, and they chose to live their life by sight. And Paul said, you need to beware that lest the word of God's preached to you, that you don't mix it with faith, and therefore you're going to fail. You're not going to enter into the rest that God has for you. You're not going to be able to claim the victory that's been given you. He said, you ought to be fearful of that. He said, but you know what? The word that was preached to them, it didn't profit them because they didn't take what they heard and they didn't mix it with faith. And so sometimes I'm afraid that we know the Bible teaches, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I understand that. But when you hear the word of God, you've got a choice and I've got a choice. The choice is, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to respond to the revealed, the preached word of God? If I don't mix it with faith, it's of no profit. Listen, you can listen to preaching. You can put it on your radio at work and in your car. You can listen to preaching 24/7. You can be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, Jubilee. But if you don't take what you're hearing and mix it with faith, then you're going to live in the wilderness. You can hear preaching. You say, well, Pastor Brandon, I'm faithful to church. I'm here Sunday and Wednesday, and I was here in Jubilee, but I'm having problems. I'm having this. Are you mixing it with faith? Are you obeying what you hear? Are you responding to the word of God? Can I ask you a question? And I understand this. Listen, but I want you to think about something. When was the last time after the word of God was preached, you came down here and did business with God? Now, I realize that's not where it ends. That's where it starts. But I think it's a good place to start. When was the last time God convicted you about something in your life and you brought it down here to an altar and said, God, I'm guilty. I confess. Help me. Amen. Now, that ought not be where it stays. A.W. Tozer, one time, he got done preaching and he told his congregation, now, instead of coming down here and crying about it, go home and do something about it. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. But it's something to consider, isn't it? Hey, how do you respond to the word of God? The Bible says, you know what? The life of faith, it'll be a profitable life. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he's given him some good exhortation, a good challenge. And in 1 Timothy 4, 15, he says, you need to meditate upon these things. You need to give thyself wholly to them. Timothy, give yourself to the ministry. Give yourself to the book. It's got to be who you are. You've got to love it. Give yourself wholly to these things. He said, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, Timothy, it'll be obvious. It'll be evident that you're living a life of faith. It'll be evident that there's some profitability in your life. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, if you live a life of faith, there'll be some progress. There'll be some growth. There'll be some profitability in our life. The life of faith is a profitable life. Amen. I don't know about you. I can attest to that. Hey, God's brought me along. Amen. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I could be tonight. But I'm telling you this, I'm thankful that God's been patient with me and that as I've trusted God, he's brought me along in this Christian life. Amen? And I'm telling you, if you're in the same place you were tonight, then when you got saved, there's a problem. Because things that have life grow. Amen. Things that have life grow. And if you're in the same place tonight that you were when you got saved, there's a problem. You're not mixing the word of God with faith. You're not profiting by the preached word of God. Do you love Jesus more tonight than you did last year? Are you doing more for God today than you did, I don't know, this time 6 months ago? Is the growth of Christianity evident in your life? Can people see it? When people look at you and your family, your individual life, do they say, boy, brother so-and-so, brother, sister, so they really love God. I really see them coming along. They're advancing in the Christian life. Now, if we're not careful, we think that that's only for new converts. Right? Can I tell you, it's not just for new converts. That's for us. That's for Christians. So number one, Living by faith will be a profitable life. Turn, if you will, to chapter number 11. How do I know if I'm living by faith? Are you growing? Are you making progress? That's one of the key phrases here in the book of Hebrews. Paul says we need to go on to perfection. There's some things God has for us. Let's go get them. Let's live by faith. Number two, it'll be a pleasing life. Pleasing life. Notice, if you will, chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he's kind of going off of what he says in verse number 5 about Enoch. And we know that Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God. And can I tell you that if we live a life of faith, it'll be a pleasing life. Not only be pleasing to God, it'll be pleasing to the Savior. That's the way that we please God. But can I tell you this? I can say tonight, it'll be pleasing to the saints. Listen, I don't have any regrets in trusting my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, you've trusted your eternal soul to him. Don't you think you can trust your decisions to him? Don't you think you can trust your life with him? Amen. So it's not only a pleasing life to the Lord, it's a pleasing life to the saints. And I can testify to that. Can I tell you this? That living by faith, it's not always comfortable. We heard about that this morning. When my family moved to Virginia, you know what? Listen, I'm not complaining. I don't want you to think I'm complaining. God's been good to me. I have nothing to complain about. But if I'm honest, if I'm really honest with you, my life in South Carolina was probably a lot more comfortable than it has been in Virginia. It was more comfortable. There were things that were there. There were just some things that got me out of my comfort zone when we moved to Virginia. But can I tell you, I know 100% that God wanted me to move to Virginia. And although there were some things that were uncomfortable, there were some trials, there were some challenges, can I tell you, I have not regretted one minute of it. Not one minute. Why? Because I was living by faith. I was trusting that I was doing what God was leading me to do in my life. And I came to do what God called me to do. And you know what? It hadn't always been easy. It hadn't always been comfortable. I can remember times when I was working still the same job that I'm working now. And man, I'd have some long days and I'd be thinking, what in the world is God doing? What am I doing here? I'd get started on that day, and it was dark when I started, and it'd be dark when I was getting finished, and some days I'd get started, and I'd say, well, I don't even know if I'm going to finish. I don't know when I'm going to finish, and I'd get overwhelmed, and I'd just pour my heart out to God and say, God, I'm going to need your help. Can I tell you, God has came through 100% of the time, every single time. He's met every need, and I'm just trying to tell you, it's a pleasing life. You trust God. You live by faith. He may call you to do something difficult. You may go through a storm. You may go through a valley. But can I tell you, it's the best life. Amen. Living by faith is the best life. It's a pleasing life. It's pleasing to the Savior. It's pleasing to the saints. But it's not always pleasing to friends and family, is it? We heard about that this morning. It's not always pleasing to your foe. There's going to be enemies. There's going to be people that tell you, you ought to go out and make a lot of money. You ought to go out and make a name for yourself. You ought to chase after fame. You ought to chase after popularity. You ought to follow your dreams. Can I tell you, just follow God. Just obey God and live by faith. That'll be the best thing you can do with your life. If you're here and you've just graduated high school, or maybe you're still trying to figure out what to do with your life, serve God with it. Amen. Whether that means ministry, whether that means doctor, lawyer, I don't know if we have many of those here. Amen. Whether that means painter, whether that means construction worker. Now we're getting right down to where we live. Amen. Electrician, whatever that means, just serve God with your life. Amen. It'll be a pleasing life. Number three, it'll be a pious life. Pious. And I use that word just for the sake of alliteration. That's not my favorite word. But the word pious just means spiritual, godly. A life of faith will be evident if you're godly. Isn't that real simple? But you know what? I can tell you if you're living by faith or not by if you're interested in spiritual things. You know a good way to tell if you're interested in spiritual things? You say, well, I'm here tonight. Well, some of you are here, let's just be honest, because some people come to church because their reputation's on the line. They're afraid of what people might think if they don't show up. They're afraid they might get a call from the pastor if they don't show up. They're afraid mom or dad's going to ask them, well, why weren't you at church? Can I ask you, why did you really come tonight? Is it because, there's a hunger, there's a craving, there's something inside of you that says, I've got to get to the house of God. I've got to sing the praises of God. I've got to hear the preaching. I want more of it. Is there something spiritual that's clicking in your heart tonight? Amen. That'll be very evident. That'll be very obvious if you're living by faith. If there's got to be something going on inside of here. Amen. And I'll be the first to admit tonight, it's not always on fire as it ought to be. But there ought to be something there, amen? There ought to be a drive. There ought to be a desire. There ought to be something in there that's just crying out to God that says, God, I yearn, I long to trust you. I want to hear your word. God, show me what to do. I want to make a difference, amen? There'll be a desire for spiritual things. Would to God that God, this is Youth Sunday, that God would fill up our church pews with young people that are interested in spiritual things. Amen. Listen, the sports and things, that's a part of our life, okay? But can I tell you, man, that stuff's going to burn one day. Hey, let's live for eternity. Amen. Let's lay up treasures where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Let's lay up treasures on the other side. Amen. Let's teach our children, let's teach our young people to spend their lives for eternity. Amen. You know the best way to teach them? Show them. Now, we can talk about the young people all day long, but you know what I'm finding out? You know what the young people are like? You know why the young people are the way they are? Because the parents are the way they are. So let's preach to us for a little while. Moms and dads, hey, let's live for eternity. What kind of message are we sending to our children? Hey, how do we spend our time through the week? Is the only time that we're interested in spiritual things is when we're, on the way to church on Sunday morning? We'll listen to the gospel song on the way to church, but then when we're going out to the family to eat on Friday night, we're going to listen to country music or rap music or rock music. Come on. Amen. Hey, listen, when is it that you're interested in spiritual things? You don't pick and choose. It's a lifestyle. It's the way that you live. Amen. And if we're not careful, we're teaching our children to be hypocrites. We're teaching them, yep, you turn on Christianity on Sunday, you turn it back off when you go home, you turn it back on when you come back on Wednesday night, then you turn it back off when you get home. Amen. Hey, listen. We'll know if we're living by faith if we have a life of piety, a life of godliness. Notice, if you will, verse number 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please him. Notice this. For he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God. The word cometh there ends with an E-T-H. That's your habit. That's your practice. He's not talking about the moment that you got saved. He's saying, no, I'm going to tell you the way to live by faith. I'm going to tell you the way to please God. You have to make it a habit. You have to continually learn and know what it's like to bring your cares, bring your heart to God, bring your problems to God. Amen. That'll tell me whether or not you're interested in a life of faith. What do you do with your problems? What do you do with your care? What do you do with your heartache? You tell your friends? Do you tell Facebook? Do you go, you know, listen, hey, he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God, that's where it's at. Living by faith. If you live by faith, you're going to take every trial, every difficulty, everything that doesn't make sense in your life and bring it right to the throne of God. Just lay it out and bear your soul before God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's what the life of faith does. He that cometh continually to God must believe that he is. So number one, it's a profitable life. Number two, it's a pleasing life. Number three, it's a pious life. But here's kind of the meat of the message, number four and five. Number four, it's a persuaded life. A life of faith will be a life that is persuaded of some things. Notice what he said, verse number six. For he that cometh to God, look at this, must believe. There's some thing, if you're going to live by faith, there's a couple of things here primarily. You must believe. They've got to be there. For he that cometh to God must believe. What are they? What do I need to be persuaded of? Number one, you need to be persuaded of God's availability. Notice what he said. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe what? That he is. Must believe that he is. God is available. Not that he was. Did you get that? Not that he will be. I'm telling you tonight, God is. Amen. For he that cometh to God, you say, Brother Brandon, I want to live by faith. I want to please God with my life. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is. Amen. God was, absolutely. God will be, absolutely. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Don't forget about today and forever. God is. He that cometh to God must believe, not that he used to do great things, not that one day he's going to do great things. I'm telling you tonight, God can do great things in your life. Say, Brother Brandon, my family's in a wreck. God is. Amen. Brother Brandon, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. Pastor Brandon, my children are going astray. God is tonight. Amen. Pastor Brandon, I'm going through a valley. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. God is. Amen. Pastor Brandon, I'm struggling with this sin. Man, I'm miserable. My family, my marriage is falling apart. Hey, tonight, God is. I'm talking about living by faith. Living by faith. Now, we can read about the things that God did, and that can help our faith. But can I tell you, he's the same today. The great I am, we sing about him. He still is. He's not the great I was. He's not the great I will be. He's the great I am tonight. He that cometh to God must believe that he is presently. God's availability. Not only God's availability, you've got to believe God's attention. God is interested in what's going on in your life. He's aware. He's aware. You have to believe not only is God available, God's aware. He knows your heart. He knows your circumstances. He knows your motives. He knows it all. Church, notice what he says. He that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder. You believe that about God tonight? That's the thought that prompted this message, I'll be honest with you. When Brother Dwayne Moore was preaching, I said, God, I want with everything in me that I want to believe this. God, I know that you are, but God, would you help me to believe that you are a rewarder? God, when I can't see the benefit, right? When I can't see the benefit of obeying you, when I'm in a situation like Moses, and the Bible tells us later on this chapter, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. When I've got a choice, and it looks like trusting God's going to cost me, here's what I must believe. I must believe that if I trust God, even though it might cost me, his reward's going to be worth it. His reward's going to be better. If I say yes to church attendance and no to the boss to work on Sunday, we heard that illustration this morning. You know what? That might cost me a little bit in the bank account. But you know what? It's going to reward me on the other side. Amen. It's going to reward me in the presence of God with God's favor. Amen. If I choose to trust God with how I raise my family, raise my children, you know what? That might cost me a few things worldly speaking. But can I tell you what? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Do you believe tonight that God's going to reward your right decisions? He that cometh to God, if you're going to live by faith, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So to reward means this. It means to give in return. Now I told you not. God's aware. He's watching. He's watching. The word reward comes from our word, well, ward. You know what a warden is. They watch. They guard. And the idea is God's watching. He knows who's living by faith. He knows who wants to please him tonight. He's watching your life. He's watching your decisions. And you know what? He's ready to reward you. That's what he's doing. That's the kind of God he is. He's not just licking his chops to come down on you and punish you. He's got rewards. He's got blessings that he wants us to experience tonight. But it's not going to come without effort. That's what a reward is, isn't it? You see, salvation's not a reward. It's a gift. But you get rewards because you earn them, right? And so God doesn't just give rewards to anybody. And so you say, well, Brother Brandon, I can't really think of any awards. I really can't really think of any rewarding thing about Christianity. Well, maybe it's because you're not seeking God with your life. Maybe it's because tonight you're not living by faith. You're living by sight. And you just make decisions based on what you can see and what you can figure and human reasoning and human logic. Be careful who you get your counsel from. If you've got to make a decision, be sure you get counsel from someone that can take you to the Bible and give you some good principles. Amen. Especially when it comes to marriage, when it comes to choosing a career, when it comes to serving God with your life. Hey, get somebody that'll give you what this book says. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To reward means to give in return. There's a difference in rewards and benefits. Right? Those of us that work a job, we have employer benefits. Thank God for those. Amen. Well, a couple of us, I looked over at Brother M. Bowden. Amen. I'm sure he looks at those sometimes and he's just scratching his head like, man. But they cost a lot. Amen. But can I tell you, it's a benefit. That's a benefit. Thank God for benefits. Now, those are things that they come along with accepting the job. Whether you're a good employee or a bad one, it comes along with benefits. But you know what? Those bonuses usually are things that you earn. That's a reward. And God said, I'm a rewarder. In other words, I'm not just going to hand out rewards to those who aren't doing anything, to those who aren't going to trust me, to those who aren't going to do what my word says. You know what? You might miss out on the blessings because he's a rewarder. Now, you're saved by grace. That's the way you get saved. It's not because you earned it. But if you're going to live for God and experience his blessings, it's going to be because you obeyed what this book says. Amen. Rewarder. Let me give you a few examples of God's rewards that we can have presently. We can have God's pardon. That's a reward. You say, well, I thought that's just the grace of God. Well, think about it. In order for me to get God's pardon, in order for me to get God's forgiveness, I've got to be willing to humble myself and admit that I've sinned. Amen. God's pardon, God's forgiveness. I'm glad tonight for the forgiveness of God. You know what it's going to take if you want God's forgiveness in your life? You might have to swallow your pride and ask for it. You might have to swallow your pride tonight and admit, Lord, I've messed up. I've sinned. I have fallen short. Forgive me. It might cost you something. It might cost you a little pride. God's pardon. What about the presence of God? How about that reward? Hey, you know what? Listen, this is what God told Abram. He said, Abram, he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He said, Abram, I'm the reward. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that what? Diligently seek him. It's not just going after his blessings. It's going after him. God, I want you. God, I want your presence. I need your presence in our life. Would to God that he would grant us a realization tonight that we need the presence of God in our lives. We need the presence of God in our churches. We need the presence of God in our homes. We need the presence of God in our land, in our country. We need tonight the presence of God. Can I tell you, it's going to come with a price. It's going to come with a price. What are you willing to pay tonight to be rewarded with the presence of God in your life? Are you willing to pay the price to experience the presence of God in your life? It might cost you something. Might cost you some time. Might cost you some energy. You say, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've lost my joy. I don't have any desire for the things of God. You know, I'm just kind of going through the motions. And hey, listen, you might have to pay the price. Sometimes we get the wrong idea. God's a rewarder. He's not just going to say, you know what? I think I'm just going to throw out all my presence and manifest myself to this person that don't want anything to do with it. That's the way America works, not God. Just throw the benefits to those that don't earn them. God, see, God's not like that. God says, you want to know me? You can. Diligently seek me. They that seek me early shall find me. That's what he said. The presence of God. How about the power of God? I think that's going to cost us something. I think that's a reward. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. I wonder tonight, are we willing to pay the price to get God's power on our life? I wonder as preachers, are we willing to pay the price, what it's going to take to have the power of God upon our preaching, our ministry? I wonder as fathers, are we willing to pay the price tonight, get God's power on our life, so that our wives and our children can see, hey, Daddy walks with God. Hey, Daddy loves God. There's something about that. There's something different about Daddy. My daddy's different than the other daddies. Hey, that's going to cost you something. Amen. Sunday school teachers, you need the power of God on your life. Hey, this ain't something we can do in the energy of our flesh. We need the power of God upon Fellowship Baptist Church. I don't know about you, and this is not an indictment, but I don't want to show up and play church. Man, I don't want to show up and go through the motions and open up a hymn book and kind of, you know, just sing, going through the motions, not have anything going on in my heart and just do my religious duty and think that I'm doing God a favor. Hey, we need the power of God tonight. We need God's conviction. We need God's comfort. We need God's presence and power in the church tonight. Amen. Oh, we need it. We willing to pay the price? That'll be a reward. That'll be a reward. God will look down. He'll say, you know what? Well, there's some people, there's a church, there's a family, they're diligent. Well, they really want it. I think I'll reward them. See, that's the kind of God he is. The presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, trust God, the peace of God. How about all these things tonight? How about it? You want the peace of God in your life? I'm talking to church people tonight. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm talking to church people tonight. You might have peace with God, and you might be saved and going to heaven when you die, and your soul is troubled. There's turmoil. There's heartache. It's just your soul. It's just noisy. There's tumult. It's just clamorous, and you can't find peace anywhere. Can I tell you? You might have to pay a price. How bad do you want it? Huh? What's the presence of God worth to you? What's the power of God? What's the peace of God in your soul? What's that worth to you tonight? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It'll cost you something. No rewards means no faith. Did you get that? No rewards means no faith. If these things are not maybe the way that I would like for them to be evident in my life, maybe, just maybe tonight, it means maybe I just thought I was living by faith. I mentioned after Pastor David preached this morning in my prayer, I wonder how much potential God has locked in this church that could be unlocked if we just learned to live by faith. What about in our lives? What about in our homes? If we had learned what it would be like to trust God. Amen? I wonder how much potential would be here in our church. And then lastly, a life of faith, it'll be a persistent life. The last phrase says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the price. It's going to take persistence. It's going to take some effort. It can't be half-hearted. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I thought about this. Some of you parents that are parents of, and I'm going to pick on the boys tonight. Your moms of boys, and you're getting ready to leave the house, whether it be to come to church or whether it be to go out, and then your son comes up to you and he says, I can't find my shoes, Mom. How do you lose your shoes? Can't find my shoes, Mom. And so Mom says, go find your shoes. And then here's usually what the boys say. Here's what I've kind of come to find out what the boys do. They'll go look for their shoes kind of like this. Mom, I don't see them. They're not in there. Right? You moms can say amen. Right? Can't find them. Listen, can I tell you, I think that's the way some Christians are looking for the blessings of God. Right? Well, I came to Sunday school. I brought my family to Sunday morning. Right? And then what does mama do? No, son, this is how you got to do it, right? And she goes in there, man, she's turning everything. She's opening up all the drawers. And you know what? Usually, about 10 seconds, mama's coming back with the shoes, right? She's like that woman in Luke 15 looking for that lost silver. And she searches diligently until she finds it. That's what God's talking about right here. You want my rewards? You go after them like that. Not half-hearted, not hit and miss, not on and off, hot and cold. You want to experience my power. You want my presence to be evident in your life. You got to go after it diligently. You got to go after it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, daily. You might have to go after it early. It's going to have to be a lifestyle. Amen. 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 Persistent life. It's a certain seeking. Not only that, it's a common sense. You say, well, where can I find God? Well, where can I find God? It's simple tonight. Listen, you can find him in the commandments. You can find him in this book. You want all these rewards. You want the peace, the promises, the presence, the power of God. You're going to find it in this book. There's got to be a time and a place that you go where you get in this book and you experience the presence of God. Amen. You diligently seek God in his word. Where can I find God? You find him in communion. You find him in that prayer closet. Thank God for the times, listen, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. I'm thankful that he's a very present help in trouble. Amen. He's a refuge. I'm thankful that I can get on my face before God and say, God, I want your power. God, I want your presence. And I can get in my prayer closet and I can get along with God. And usually, you know what, it's not long until I find out he is a rewarder. He will keep His word. Amen. I wonder tonight if you believe that. Communion. You can find God in the church. Two or three are gathered in My name. He said, I'll be in the midst. I'll be a rewarder of them that diligently seek Me. Amen. We got folks, and I'm preaching the Sunday night crowd. But, you know, every church and every community, every nation's got Sunday morning Christians. And most of them, their lives are just a wreck. And what they don't understand, I'm just being honest. It's heartbreaking. They think they can come to church on Sunday morning, and that's the Christian life. Well, I came on Sunday morning, and I've got all these problems. Well, that's not diligent. That's just not diligent. It just does not meet the requirements to realize the rewards of God to live that way. You can find God in the church. You ought to be able to find Him in the Christian. Where do I find God? You ought to be able to find Him in Christian fellowship. See, maybe you're looking in the wrong places for the rewards. You can find Him in the commandments, in communion, in church, in the Christian. I hope you can find Him in the Christian home. You can find God there. You say, where do I look for Him? There's where you look for God. That's where you can find Him. I'm going to close. I'm going to relate my last two points. If we want to live a life of faith, we're going to have to be persuaded. We're going to have to be convinced that God's a rewarder. And if we are, we will diligently seek Him. You understand that? That's probably the most true statement I can make tonight. If you are convinced God is a rewarder, you will diligently seek Him. In school, that we had these, what they called an if-then statement. You remember those? If this is true, or if this, then this will also be true. That's what we have right here. If you believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, you know what? Then you will diligently seek Him. Therefore, because of that, it's vital that you believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. That's the most important part of this message tonight. How do you think about God? Do you really believe He's going to reward you if you make that hard decision to trust Him and do His will for your life? Because I'm just persuaded the reason why we don't is because we're just not convinced at the core of our being. You know what? I'm not sure that God's going to reward this. I'm not sure that it's going to be worth it if I trust Him here. I'm not sure that it's going to be worth it if I put myself out there and witness to my boss or witness to that coworker. I'm not sure that the cost is going to be worth the reward. I'm here tonight to tell you it will be worth it. And can I tell you, this is the hardest part of the message. You may not always realize all these rewards this side of eternity. You know what? We just live in a day and age where we want it all now, don't we? The end of this chapter, we won't go there, but he says, you know what? The time would fail to tell me, and he names a lot of the judges, Samson and Barak, and he says, listen, God did great things through these men. Stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and he said, man, God did great things through faith. God allowed them to see these great things in their lifetime. And then it gets on down, and you see this phrase, and others. They were sawn in sunder, right? I mean, burned at the stake. I mean, it didn't have a place to lay their head, didn't have a house, didn't have a home. You say, well, man, is it still worth it? Well, maybe not this side of eternity, but one day it will be. The writer said, you know what, of whom the world was not worthy. Can I tell you, listen, we may not always experience all the rewards that God has in this life, but I can tell you if we'll obey God, if we'll live by faith, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God will make it right. God will reward because He's God. He has to. He's just. He's fair. He's good. And He will. Amen? Amen. Living by faith means we believe that God will reward our faith, whether in this life or in the life to come. You know what? One day, this life of faith, it'll be a past life for those of us that are saved. We won't live by faith. We will live by sight one day. Faith will become sight. I'm looking forward to that. Now tonight, here's what I want you to do. We're going to close. I want you to examine your life. I want you to really think about this. I think sometimes we just think, you know, it's just our default answer. Well, sure, I live by faith. I go to church. I'm not asking you if you came to church tonight. I'm not asking you if you've got saved. I'm asking, are you living moment by faith? Is there evidence in your life of a life of faith? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of the importance to live by faith. God, I pray that you would help convince us, help persuade us, Lord, that you are, and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. God, help convince me. Help me to see you, God, for who you really are. Lord, that I may live a life that would please you. Lord, that I would live a life where I would trust you, that I could experience your rewards and your blessings. Help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Pastor's going to come with the invitation, Pastor.